I want you to know who I am. It's obvious you don't. It's obvious because if you knew who I was, you would stand, you would show me deference. You would realize I am someone important, or so I thought. My name is Dionysius. I am from Athens. I am one of the Areopagus. I want to tell you what happened to me. I notice in my journey here that you have kept up one of our noble traditions. I saw some of your people running on the street, running a marathon. That's from my country, Greece. Except I was curious. You have abandoned one part of that tradition. Those who are running are not naked. Be that as it may, we'll leave that. I am Dionysius. I was there that day when Paul came to our esteemed community. This rabble-rouser, this one whom we thought was of no account. I was one of those who were very suspicious of him. Let me tell you a little bit about who we, the Areopagus, are. There are nine of us, and ours is a tradition that goes back 6 centuries. We are an esteemed council who began by ridding our land of a king to create space for a democracy. We are wise and learned and tested, erudite, skilled in knowledge, filled with all manner of learning. We are the Areopagus. For you see, the Areopagus is not only a place, it is us, the nine of us, archons we are called, leaders. We adjudicate over matters of serious state importance, matters of criminal activity, matters that matter. That is who we are, and I am one of them. Things changed for me that day. We sat around and we welcomed this Paul to come and speak to us, for we had heard he was around our city making all kinds of strange claims, saying something new we had not heard before. You see, we are a body that loves new things, new ideas, as long as they make sense and are worthy of our considerable intellect and rational wisdom in the traditions of our philosophers. So we invited him to come. Come and speak to us. Tell us of this newness. He was speaking strange things. For he spoke of a Jesus and of a resurrection. What most impressed me about this Paul was that he himself was learned. He was someone with whom we could have affinity because his mind was sharp, his knowledge vast, his intellect obviously well honed. He knew of our philosophers, as he should, as all the world should. Our philosophers are esteemed. Listen to what they have said about the Areopagus. The Council of Areopagus from the 4th century in Athens. The orator, Lycurgus, tells his fellow Athenians, you have in the Council of Areopagus the finest model in Greece. Do you hear that? A court so superior to others that even the men convicted in it admit that its judgments are just. Listen to another accolade. Areopagus, take the example of the Council of the Areopagus, the most scrupulous tribunal in the city. I myself have before now seen many men convicted before this tribunal. Though they spoke most eloquently and presented witnesses, I know that before now certain men have won their case. Although they spoke most feebly and although no witnesses testified for them. For it is not on the strength of pleading alone, nor the testimony alone, that the members of the court give their verdict, but on the strength of their own knowledge and their own investigations. And this is the reason why that tribunal maintains its high repute in the city. Do you hear that? Because we are wise. We know how to adjudicate, and we are not easily misled by clever words or many witnesses. Our knowledge is pure and true, our logic unswerving. But this Paul came to us speaking using the words of our philosophers, Epimenides. We indeed are those who move and live and have our being in this one. Yes, he did say that. He also recognized one of our traditions. We have many gods here in Athens, many, many gods, many idols all over, and Paul saw them. But he noticed one in particular, an altar set up to the unknown God. You see, 5 centuries ago, there was a massive plague in this city, a terrible plague. No one could figure what the cause of it was. All of the gods were given sacrifices and nothing stopped the plague. We invited an esteemed scholar from another town named Epimenides, and he came and he said, take a flock of sheep. Starve them for a time. Then release them on the Mount of Areopagus, just here where we stand now. And those sheep who do not eat of the food that is provided, for they are hungry and should eat, but lie down instead. Let us see. There were a number who did. And every place where those sheep lay down, that place was marked and an altar erected to the unknown God because it was not one of the gods, and those sheep were slaughtered on those altars. Somehow, the plague stopped. So, we had many altars to the unknown God. This is the only one that has survived, and Paul noticed it. And that's what struck me. That's what got behind my intellectual defenses. Because I, you see, despite my elegant dress and my erudition, have been a seeker of truth, a seeker of what is life-giving, what is ultimately divinely rational and yet beyond imagination. An unknown God? This Paul spoke of this God in terms of creating us and all of us, and challenge me to the heart, my thoughts and my convictions. For we Greeks know we are better than the barbarians and better than common people, yet this Paul says to us, this God created all of us equally. That would sound foolish to my Athenian ears, but something was happening in me. Something I could not explain, I had never felt. I had never been moved in this way before. And he went on to quote Aratus, another of our philosophers, from the same place I understand Paul has come from, the province of Cilicia. So he knew of this particular philosopher. We are the offspring. We are His offspring. We are God's offspring, all of us. And then the shocker was to speak of the one whom this God has brought to redeem all the world, this Jesus who raised from the dead. Do you know how scandalous that is to a Greek's ears? We want to get away from the body. And to speak of one whose body has been brought back and given life, that could be never anything we imagined or taught. And yet, deep in my heart, deep in my soul, I was stirred. I wanted to know more of this Jesus, more of this good news, more of these ideas. The others scoffed, most of them dismissed him, but I wanted more. My heart, my mind, my intellect was convinced. This is true. This is true. And so I humbled myself. I ignored the mocking from my colleagues. And I am one of those who believed. There were a few of us, and I was one. The best adjudication and decision I ever made. I followed, I learned, and eventually, I became the Bishop of Athens. I am now a follower of Jesus. I am now one who understands the deep mystery of what it means to find the truth, seek the truth, and be freed by the truth. I am Dionysius, formerly of the Areopagus, now a follower of Jesus. Thank you.